Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'ah Dav Chof Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur 6 lines from the top of Daf Chof Zayin. After having experienced a brief, or not so brief, interruption in the sukkiyot where we had dealt with Yesh Muktza L'Chatzi Shabbos O Ein Muktza L'Chatzi Shabbos, we now return to the discussion concerning viewing mumin, blemishes, on a b'chor on Yom Tov. So, in effect, we are continuing the discussion that we started in our previous shiur. So, with that in mind, we glance at the side of the Gemara, where we have our nosei, our topic heading, where we've written, Re'iyas Mumin Shel Bechor B'Yom Tov. The Gemara will discuss this question, or this issue of dealing with looking and viewing blemishes on a Bechor. And as we said in our previous shiur, the Bechor is an animal that, until it develops a blemish, has a holy status to it. With the blemish, if it be a permanent one, as established by a mumche, an expert in mumin, in blemishes, then it can be slaughtered, even nowadays that we don't have a Beis Hamikdash. Of course, the Bechor is given to a Kohen, as the Bechor is one of the gifts the Torah provides for Kohanim. We will see a double underline marking, and under our Mivneh heading, we explain that these are Rabbonon Delo Rotsu Lirois Velifsok Al Mumin B'Yom Tov. We'll see rabbis who did not want to check Mumin, check blemishes on Yom Tov. This was a discussion that we saw in our previous sukkah, where we saw in the Mishnah back on Daf Chof Vov that asered, according to Rabbi Shimon, the viewing of Mumin on Yom Tov. In contrast, though, we saw the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that actually allowed the viewing and ruling upon Mumin on Yom Tov. So we now continue with our Gemara. As we said, 6 lines from the top. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiyah was from the Amoraic generation. In other words, his predecessor was Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, who was from at the end of the Tanaic period. This is a descendant of his. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiyah Havilei Hahu Bukhra. He had a Bukhor in his possession, Shadre Lekamei Rabbi Ami, and he sent it to Rabbi Ami, who would hopefully rule on the Mum status. Rashi points out that in the house of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiyah there were Kohanim that ate at his table, and hence the Bechor would be suitable for them. Now, here is a story where he sends the Bechor to Rabbi Yehuda, to Rabbi Ami, who would rule on it, and this is, of course, we're talking on Yom Tov. Sovar delo lemechse, and Rabbi Ami opted for the approach that says we do not look at Mumin. Amale Rabbi Zrika Vitema Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Zrika, and some say Rabbi Yirmiyah, reacted to Rabbi Ami's non-compliance, and he says, Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon, Halach Rabbi Yehuda, we have a rule of psak, rules and precedents concerning how one rules in the face of a Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon controversy. The Gemara in Erevin says we shall rule like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda does allow the viewing of blemishes on Yom Tov. So Rabbi Zrika is challenging Rabbi Ami's non-compliance. Hodar Shadre Lekame de Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha. Well, and then Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya sent the Bechor to Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha in the hope of his ruling on the blemish. Sovar delo lemechse. He too opted not to look at and look and rule on the move. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah v'tema Rabbi Zrika. Here you can see with our dot underline marking, these are the same names as we saw just a couple lines above, just that the order here is different in how they're presented. So Rabbi Yirmiyah reacts, some say Rabbi Zrika, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Shimon, Halacha Rabbi Yudah. When you have a machlokes tanoim between Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Shimon, we would ordinarily follow Rabbi Yudah, who says you are allowed to look at mumen. So why is it that you do not want to? Amalei Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba turns to Rabbi Zrika and says, "My time alo shavkesinu l'rabbonon l'mevat uvdok Rabbi Shimon. Why is it that you are not allowing the rabbonon that we saw just before with the double underline, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha? Why are you opposing their ruling like Rabbi Shimon, who does not allow the looking at mumin?" Omerlei, so Rabbi Zrika says to Rabbi Abba, "Viat ma biyodach. What do you have in your hands that say to abandon Rabbi Yehuda and go like Rabbi Shimon?" In other words, you, Rabbi Abba, are trying to push Rabbi Shimon's shita, to advocate Rabbi Shimon's shita, when we have rules of psak, and the rules of psak would say, like I am suggesting, that when you have a machlokas, Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda, the way to rule is like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei, Rabbi Abba responds, "Hochi Amar Rabbi Zera halacha k'Rabbi Shimon." So, Rabbi Abba, who was favoring Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Abba quotes Rabbi Zera as saying that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Zera is being, we'll say, touted as the authority based upon which we should follow Rabbi Shimon in this case regarding Riyas Mumin B'Yom Tov. Omar Mandahu, a student in the yeshiva, in the academy, we don't know his name, but he said, "Ezki ve'esak l'hosam, I should only merit to go there to Eretz Yisrael, the place where Rabbi Zera lived, the Agmara Lishmaitza Mipume Demora, and I would learn the sukya, the topic, and the ruling from the master himself. Mipume, literally from the mouth of the master, from Rabbi Zera himself. Kisolik Lahosim Ashkechel Rabbi Zera." So when this anonymous Talmud arrived in Eretz Yisrael, he met Rabbi Zera. Omalei, he asks, "Omar Mor, halacha Rabbi Shimon, did you, sir, say that halacha follows Rabbi Shimon not to look at mumin on Yom Tov?" Omar Lei, "Lo." Rabbi Zera says, "No, I didn't say that. Ano mistabra amri. All I said is that it's likely that the halacha would follow Rabbi Shimon, but not that I have a tradition that the halacha in practical terms is like Rabbi Shimon." Notice we have a very important message between the lines, that one has to be careful when they hear information, what we call hearsay. If a person has any doubts about it, the recommendation is go to the source. Go to the one in whose name the issue was said and clarify it for yourself. So here we see, upon clarification, it's revealed that Rabbi Zera did not say that the halacha formally is to be like Rabbi Shimon. "All I said," says Rabbi Zera, "is that from the sources, it would seem that the halacha goes like Rabbi Shimon. Midiktoni b'masnisen, from the fact that we have in our Mishnah the following, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol she'ein mumo nikur miba'od yoim, ein ze min amuchan. The Katoni law vibraisa, the loshen chachomim." We have an arrow indicating to go back to Chavav Amid Beis, and you can see there's a parallel arrow indicating Chof Zayin Omer Aleph, and you'll notice this about a third of the way down the page, where that same halacha of Ein Mumo Nikar Mibo Yom, where we had a Tanaic source that said that was Nolad Bo Mum Biyom Tov V'Chachomim Omrim Zeveze Min Amuchan Ein Ze Min Amuchan. And in that brisa, this same issue is reported B'Loshon Chachomim. In other words, Rabbi Shimon's Psak of the Mishnah is found in a brisa, it's another Tanaic source, as if it were the opinion of the sages, the collective sages. So that when you have a situation where a known singular opinion is then reported as if it were the opinion of the majority of the scholars, Shma Mino Mistabru Kavosei, that shows us that in most likelihood the halacha would be like Rabbi Shimon. My Havi Allah. Here the Gemara wants to know, after all of the deliberation is finished, what is the final ruling? Notice the structure of the Gemara. We have a long Toshma, an attempt on the part of the Gemara to prove, establish how to go. And then, after this long attempt, which we call the long Toshma, there is a Dechia, a rejection of whatever we're going to say now. Omar Rav Yosef, Toshma Detalye Ba'ashli Ravravi. We depend on great trees. Rabbinic license, you can see, but Rav Yosef is pointing out that what we're about to say is based on the thinking and the opinion of great ones. Ashli is, according to the Oruch, which is brought on the side of the Gemara in a note, it's a lotion of trees. Rashi says we hang, so to speak, on strong, great ropes. The word Ashli can mean ropes. And what it means is that what we're about to say was information that was said by great sages, and it's not likely that we should void what their opinion is. So what do the great sages say? The Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Omar Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, Omar Rabbi, Mishum Kihilo, Kadisha Dibushalayim. So we have a string of names you can see, and they said in the name of the holy community of Jerusalem, Rabbi Shimon v'chaverov, Omru Halocha k'Rebbi Meir. Now we haven't seen this name in this context yet. If we skip the bracketed line to keep the flow in going, Disnan, we then bring you the Tanaic source. And in the following Tanaic source, Rebbe Meir appears as saying that it is not allowed, that one should not view and rule on Mumin on Yom Tov. Now, that having been said, we have a bracketed section, and what we see in the brackets is there is a technical question on the way things were reported. We saw in the list of names, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi quoting other earlier Rabbonim, and they said in the name of the Kehila Kadish Rishalayim, that Rabbi Shimon and his colleagues say like Rabbi Meir. Now, the problem, if you will, is that when in this string of names, and their quote was Rabbi Shimon, it's Rashi has a girsa that the reading is Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. We must go back for a moment to Daf Chof Vov Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom. It appeared in a Tanaic source where Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya addressed Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and he said, Hare Omru, Ein Royin Mumin B'yomtov. In the quote of our Gemara now, we saw with a list of names, with Rebbe saying in the name of the Kila Kedisha of Yerushalayim, that Rabbi Shimon v'chaverov said, and that Rabbi Shimon, we note, is Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya and his colleague said that the locha shall follow Rabbi Meir. So in effect, we have the Kehilo Kadisha of Yerushalayim quoting Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. The problem with that is, and this is what the Gemara deals with in the brackets, is a chronological problem. And the problem is that the Kehilo Kadisha Shalayim was actually an older group than Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Hence, it wouldn't be reasonable to suggest that this, that the older group, Kehilo Kadisha Shalayim, is quoting as the basis of Psak the opinion of the younger Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. And now we read this in the Gemara. Omru, and this is a reference to the word that was dashed underlined, the line just before, toward the end of the line, as if the Kehilo Kadisha Yerushalayim were relying on Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya's ruling that halacha should follow Rabbi Meir. So how could that be? For inhu kshishi mine tuva, the Kehilo Kadisha Yerushalayim was much older. Kshishi is older. Mine, more than him, more than Reb Shimon Asya, Tuva by a lot. They were a lot older than Reb Shimon ben Menasya. So we the Gemara, let's say, repairs the phrasing here and says, Elo Beshitas Rebbe Meir Omruha. And that is that you can have an older group of sages commenting on that which younger individuals say. In this case, the Kehilo Kadisha Yerushalayim, they had heard the younger Reb Shimon Asya say that the halacha should follow Rabbi Meir. So, they heard, let us be a little more accurate here, they had heard Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya saying that we don't view Mumin on Yom Tov. And we saw that back on Chof Vavam and Aleph, that Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya reflected that opinion, that we don't view Mumin on Yom Tov. Now, upon hearing that, the older community, the Kehilo Kadisha, was saying that the younger Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya was saying something in the Shita of Rabbi Meir, conforming to Rabbi Meir's approach. So Rashi adds that it's not unusual for older Rabbonim to comment on things that are said by younger folk. So now, after all is said and done, what was said, and this is what Rav Yosef at the beginning of the Toshma was driving at, that the halacha follows Rebbe Meir. Disnan, and now we have a Tanaic source following the bracketed line, Hashochet es habachor ve'achakach hero es mumo. A person who slaughters a firstborn male animal is an animal that has sanctity and cannot be slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash unless it has a permanent blemish. Here is something was done that wasn't the best thing to do, and that is that the Bechor was slaughtered and then its blemish was shown to an expert in order to determine whether it's a blemish of a permanent nature based upon which you could slaughter a Bechor. So now that this took place, that it was slaughtered first and then the mum was shown to the sage, the expert, Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Yehuda, he says you can eat the Bechor if the expert rules that it's a blemish worthy of shechting, of slaughtering the Bechor. Namely, it was a permanent type blemish. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hoyol v'nishchat shelo al pi mumche osir, since it was wrongfully slaughtered, it was slaughtered without the prior approval of an expert, of a blemish expert, the animal is osir, the meat is osir. Alma kosov Rabbi Meir. Now, we didn't point out earlier, but this source was not dealing with the topic of Yom Tov. It was dealing in general. Something wrong was done. The initial slaughtering was done prior to the approval. Let us just mention, by way of introduction to the upcoming lines of Gemara, that there's another situation where rabbinic approval is necessary, and that's a case where a person slaughters an animal, opens up its insides, and a problem with one of the inner organs is discovered. A true problem concerning an inner organ, let's say a hole in the animal's lungs or in the animal's intestines, that would render the animal unfit for kosher eating. That is called a trefa. Now, it might be obvious, but we'll have to say it anyway. Trefa inspection is done, obviously, after the animal is slaughtered. So first you have slaughtering, and then inspection. That's obvious when it comes to the issue of trefa. What about mumin of a bechor? Well, according to Rabbi Meir, that same order is unacceptable. You can't, according to Rabbi Meir, first slaughter and then have the mum checked. So the Gemara points out, Almo kosov Rabbi Meir, Riyas Bechor Lav Kiriyas Trefa, that the inspection for blemishes of a firstborn is not like the inspection done with regard to Trefa. Let us look at the Rashi in the wide lines, about the seventh wide line under the Gemara text. Almo kosov Rabbi Meir, Riyas Bechor Eino Kala, is not, let's say, light Kiriyas Trefa, as is the viewing of Trefa. Diachshavua Rabbanon, the whole Atzma Shal Toras Bechor Tluya Ba. The viewing of a Bechor is considered of great significance. The Rabbanon assigned importance to it, and all of the possible allowance, permission of the Bechor, is dependent on the Ri'iyas Mum. Sha'af Shchitaso Asura Koyim Shirenu. Even to slaughter it before the blemish is checked is forbidden. And this is obviously not like the way we inspect trefos, which is allowed after it is slaughtered. So we, Rabbi Meir establishes that the approach we take to Bechor is not like the approach we take to a trefa. Let's continue in the Gemara. Riyas Bechor Mechayim. Rias trefa le'achar shchita. The investigation of a Bechor is while it's still alive. The investigation concerning trefa is after the animal has been slaughtered. Umina, and now following this same line of reasoning. Rias trefa afilu b'yom tov. Rias trefa, which doesn't have the same significance as the Rias Bechor, that can be done on Yom Tov. It goes without saying that you're allowed to slaughter on Yom Tov. So the checking of a trefa to know whether you can continue eating it or not, that takes place on Yom Tov. Rias Bechor is different. Me'erev Yom Tov. So that the Rashi points out, Umino, Rashi in the middle of the wide lines, Umimeno lomdu Rav Shimon ben Menasseh v'chavirov, v'omru, And based on what we just said, Rabbi Shimon Asya and his colleagues came to the conclusion, kevan techashivu kulei hai, since the checking of the mum is so important, as Rashi just said, the Rashi we saw the line before, where they assigned a great deal of importance and significance to the checking, that it can be done only when the animal is still alive. Havilei kemesakein ukidon din. It's like, these are concepts that we saw in our previous shiur. It's like you are repairing the animal and like you're issuing a formal judgment. And that is something that's forbidden to do on Yom Tov, to don din, to render judgments as a court of law is concerned. And so to hear. And therefore, since judgments are usur to be rendered on Yom Tov, this too, the checking of blemishes of a Bechor is usur on Yom Tov. Ve'afopi sha'trefa nivdekes b'Yom Tov, even though, in contrast, the trefa is something we check out on Yom Tov. This is the, has to do with, those, with the organ imperfection. Ve'hainu tali bashi ravri shomer kahila kadisha. This is the great, say, trees upon whom they relied. Deha Rabbi Shimon k'Rabbi Meir Asla. Rabbi Shimon, who says we don't look at Mumin on Yom Tov, is following Rabbi Meir. V'komuluhu Rabbi Shimon ben Yochui Rabbi Meir b'chadoshitza. And the result of this is that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochui, who we saw in the Mishnah on Chavav, says we don't look at Mumin on Yom Tov, and Rabbi Meir, whom we just saw would say contrast between Riyas Trefa with Riyas Bechor, end up saying the same thing. Both of them saying we don't check Mumin of Bechor on Yom Tov. V'havilei Rabbi Yehuda Yochid. And now, the Rabbi Huda, who we originally thought that when you have a machlokas, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Huda, you should follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, not so here. Because in this machlokas, it's not Rabbi Yehuda going up against Rabbi Shimon alone, but it's Rabbi Huda going against Rabbi Shimon combined with Rabbi Meir. And that makes Rabbi Huda a minority opinion. So this is what we meant before when it was said that that this restrictive opinion was based on the opinion of great trees or great sages. We turn back to the Gemara. Omar le Abaye. Now notice a long rejection. Abaye says to Rav Yosef. And by the way, it was important enough for Rashi to mention whom Abaye is addressing. It obviously is not so obvious in the light of all of the names that we've seen. So it was important for Rashi to add that Abaye is turning to Rav Yosef, and that's why we wrote Rav Yosef in between the lines as well. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Otu Hosam in the Moker of Hashochedes HaBachor that we saw, several lines above. In that source, Beroyin Mumin Pliki, are they arguing about whether or not it's mutter to look at Mumin? Rashi adds here, Otu, Hahid Rabbi Meir, in the source that we saw Rabbi Meir arguing with Rabbi Huda, Hahid Rabbi Meir de Bechor, that source concerning the Bechor, Beroyin Mumin Lachar Shchita Pligi Umishum Taimo de Chashivusa Amar Rabbi Meir Lemilsei. Is that the reason behind Rabbi Meir's restrictive ruling, because of Chashivus? And notice what we've done in the Rashi by way of markings is we squiggle underline this word, and arrows appear to the right hand side of the Rashi, connecting this with that which was said before, that Rabbi Meir's approach to Riyas Mumin Bechor was one of Chashivus. From that idea, we established that since the Riyas Mumin is something of great significance, It shall not be done on Yom Tov because it's tantamount to ruling a formal psak din of a beis din. Here, Abaye is saying, is that really what stands behind the opinion of Rabbi Meir? Rashi continues, what Rabbi Meir was saying was that we impose a knas. A knas is a fine. As we'll be explaining more, if someone else other than the owner, someone else who had was not the owner, who had thought that the animal had received a heter, even Rabbi Meir would agree that you could have looked at the mum. So now we go back to the Gemara. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, is the issue in Rabbi Meir's, the source with Rabbi Meir, an issue concerning whether or not one is allowed to view mumin after the Shechita? Beknasa pligi, the machlokis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda concerns the realm of, do we impose a fine? In other words, there isn't an issue here concerning the inherent chashivus of looking at mumin that is of concern, but rather there's an issue of, do we impose a fine on a wrongful action? The Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chano Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Bedukin Sheba'ayin. Dukin Sheba'ayin is a type of eye malady. Maybe it's something like a cataract. This would constitute a mum, a blemish in an animal. So if the Tanaic source before, where it spoke about the slaughtering of a bechor, and then the mum was shown to a sage, and the mum there was dukin sheba'ayin. Ayin, of course, is the eye. Dukin sheba, some type of film or growth over the eye. Kuli alma lo pligi the usur. Everyone would agree that if the shechita took place before the dukin sheba'ayin was checked out, that the bechor is forbidden. Mishum de mishtanin. It changes after the animal dies. And what might appear after death as a permanent dukin in its eye, had it been checked out before it was slaughtered, it would not necessarily have appeared as a permanent problem, as a permanent blemish. Therefore, the psak, or the ruling that would be given on a dukin shivayan after it's slaughtered, is not reflective as to what it truly was before it was slaughtered. Ki pligi, the mumin shebaguf, the machlokis above between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir concerned a blemish on the rest of the animal's body. Those are blemishes that the way they appear after the animal slaughtered was the way it was before it was slaughtered. Rabbi Meir Sovar, nevertheless, Rabbi Meir who assers, holds Gazrinon Mumin Shebaguf Otu Mumin Shebaayin. We will restrict the eating of a bechor whose mum is on the rest of its body in anticipation of someone doing the same with regard to an eye blemish. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar lo gazrinon. Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't have to impose a restriction because we're dealing in the source with mumen shebeguf, and those kind of mumen don't change after death. Let us take a look at the Rashi. We're looking at the Rashi, Mumin Shibagu, four lines from the bottom. Kigo Niktsitsa Ozno Nishbaro Yodo. Imagine an animal's ear was cut off, or its leg was broken. Delo Nishtana Bishvil Hashchita. That doesn't change as a result of the slaughtering. So it's concerning that kind of mum that we see a machlokes. And what is the whole machlokes? The machlokes is, do we impose a knas, a fine, on someone that slaughtered the animal before the mum shebeguf had been ruled upon? Rabbi Yehuda is saying we don't have to impose a restriction, and we can rely on this ruling even though it was done after the Shechita. And Rabbi Meir says we cannot allow this animal, because if we allow the animal based on this ruling after the Shechita, you'll end up doing the same thing in the case of the Dukin Sheba Ayin. And that cannot be, the ruling in that case can't be relied upon, because it changes, the eye status changes in its shechita, in the death and in the killing of the animal. We continue in the Gemara. Omer of Nachma Yitzchok, Masnisa Nami Daiko. Careful reading of the Tanaic source will actually reveal this point. Dekotani Rabbi Meir Omer Hoyul V'Nishchat Shelo Al Pi Mumche Aser. The reason that it's usher is because it was, when the Shechita took place, the expert had not issued his ruling on it before. Now the language indicates a gezerah, a fine that was imposed. What we called before a knas, so that you don't get accustomed to it. It did not say in the source, very simply, Rabbi Meir Oser, but an explanation had accompanied his ruling. And it is as we said. It was a gzeirah, because if we allow this, then we'll end up coming to allow the case of the Dukin Shebayin also, that one that would be ruled upon after its shechita, and that would not reflect necessarily the true status had it been checked out in the case of Dukin Shebayin when the animal was still alive. So the language of the source reveals that Rabbi Meir's ruling is based on a knas, based on a gzera. We continue in the Gemara. Ami, this is a name, Ami Vardino, Chozi Buchro de Beinasio Have. This gentleman, Ami Vardino, was a blemish expert, and he used to be the Bechor checker, the one who checked the Bechoros born in the house of the Nossi. The Nossi is the president, the prince of the Jewish people of the time. B'yoyma toifa lo have chazi. On Yom Tov, Ami Vardino would not check Mumin. Osu v'omru le Rabbi Ami. They came and told this to Rebbe Ami, not to be confused with Ami Vardino. They said that Ami Vardino does not check Mumin on Yom Tov. Omar Lahu, Rebbe Ami responded, Shapir Ka'ovid Delo Chazi. He does very well by not checking. The Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? Vahal Rebbe Ami Gufei Chazi. Rebbe Ami himself did check Mumin on Yom Tov. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Ami ki chazi me esmo havi chazi. Rabbi Ami, really, when he, we'll say, looked at Mumin, and you think he was looking at it on Yom Tov for the first time, that's not true. Rabbi Ami really viewed the Mumin from before Yom Tov to establish whether it's a Mum Kavua or a Mum Over, transitory Mum. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Ubi Yom Tov Shuli Komishael Hechi Havi Uvda. And on Yom Tov, he was asked, what is it that you saw? There's an incident to illustrate this, but before we do that, before we go through the Gemara, we glance at the Rashi at the top. There are times that Rabbi Ami was preoccupied with Yom Tov preparations on the day before Yom Tov. And once he saw the mum on Erev Yom Tov, he would tell the owner, go and come back tomorrow. V'hoyesholu al hamum eich bo lo. And on Yom Tov, he would then ask, how did the mum come about? There's a certain level of suspicion that the Kohanim had of imposing blemishes on Bechoros. Kidisnan, kol amumin ruim lovu b'deodom, all mumin that could have been imposed by a person, for example, as opposed to, let's say, mumin that are from birth, where an animal, let us say, is born without a limb. That's not roi lovu b'deodom. You can see that it was born that way. But those kind of blemishes, kinds of scratches, and scars left in animals that could have been humanly imposed. So it is said as follows: Roye Yisrael ne'emonim, Roye Kohanim ein ne'emonim. And the Roye Kohanim, Kohanim that are shepherds or shepherds of Kohanim. That's a discussion in the Gemara in Brachos, in Bechoros, that is. But the Roe Kohanim are not trustworthy. V'tzorech lohovi edim shme'elov bolo. If you're dealing with Roe Kohanim, then witnesses have to come to explain how the mum developed, that it did not develop because someone imposed it. That is forbidden. So we continue now in the Gemara. Ki ha, and this is a long incident. We have a long marking indicating this. Ki ha dahu gavra. There was an incident involving a kohen. Da isi buchu lekame de rava apanya de male yomatova. This kohen brought a bechor to rava erev yomtov. The expression apanya de male yomatova means erev yomtov. Havi yosiv rava v'kachayef reshe. This expression, by the way, you see also in Masechet Shabbos, in the famous story involving Hillel Hazoken and the individual who came to try to irritate him, to arouse his wrath, and it was an era of Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos describes, and Hillel was Chayef Reshe. Here you have a very similar incident. Chayef Reshe means was washing his hair. It's a means of preparing for Yom Tov, for Shabbos. Here you have Rava doing the same thing. Rava was Chayef Reshe, and it was Erev Yom Tov, and this fellow brought a Bechor for inspection. Doli Einei V'chazei L'mumei. Rava raised his eyes from the wash basin, and he noticed the mum, the blemish. Amalei, Rava says to this gentleman, Zilo Idna V'tola Mocher. Go today and come back tomorrow on Yom Tov. Also, he also lemochar when he came the next day. Amar hechi havi ufto. What were the circumstances behind the development of this blemish? Amar le. So the gentleman said, havishadion sari. Sari is or barley. It's animal feed. There was some barley scattered b'hach gisa dehutza, v'aviu be'idoch gisa. On one side of a hutza, hutza is a fence made of thorns. So on one side of this thorn fence, there was animal feed, and the animal itself was on the other side. And the animal saw the barley through the branches that were, through the thorn branches that made up the fence. So the animal wanted to eat from the barley by pushing its head through the fence. Ba'adid boy lemechal, as it wanted to eat, or as it was about to eat, ayol reshe uparte hutza lisifuse. The animal penetrated the thorn fence, and the thorns split the animal's lip. Amale dilma at garmisle. So Rava says, maybe you caused it, maybe you set up that whole situation. And that too is something forbidden. Amarle, lo, he says, no, I had nothing to do with it. The barley was scattered there on its own. The animal was on this side. I didn't bring the animal to this side of the fence in anticipation of the animal doing that, penetrating the fence with its head. the continuation of the Gemara discusses this topic of from how do we know that it's also even to be a goreim, causing the mum to develop without actually imposing the mum directly, but simply being a causative factor. From where do we know that that's forbidden? But before we go further, just to note a point in the Rashi, At Garmas Lay, Rashi says, a few lines up from here, Midas, Nosata Sorim Shom, maybe you willingly, knowingly put the barley on the other side of the thorn fence in anticipation of the animal pushing its head through to get to it. Shenech Shadetem al Bechoros, you, the Kehanim, are suspect regarding Bechor, Mnei Torah Godol, because of the great trouble there is in caring for the animal, by Yitzion, the expenditure, Shehutel Alov, that are upon him. She Yisrael Eino Metapel Bo Elo Shlisha Chadoshim, Venos Lekoin. Yisrael, he is obligated to take care of the Bechor born in his herd for 3 months. After the animal is born, it's then given to a Kohen who will have to take care of it for who knows how long until a mum develops. And in order to avoid this the great trouble and expense, Kohanim were suspect of imposing mumin in the Bechor in order for them to be able to shecht it and eat the meat. Without the mum kavua being there, and there's no Beis HaMikdash, so they have no option other than just to take care of it long term. So in order to save expenses, they fell under suspicion. The Gemara, we continue, Umino Temro de Groma Osir, from where do we know that causing a mum in a Bechor is also forbidden? The Sanya, the Pasuk says, Mum lo ye boi. Ein li elo shelo yitain bo mum. I would think that it means that the only restriction is to proactively impose a mum in the animal. Minayin shelo yigroim lo al yedei dover acher. From where do we know that you shouldn't be cause a mum through some other means, through some external means, but you being the cause of it? Shelo yavi botzek odvelav yinich lo al gabi ha'oizen. Kedei shelvo hakelev yitlenu. For example, that from where do we know that you're not allowed to take some dough or some devela, some figs, and plaster it to the Bechor's ear, knowing that a dog will come and remove the figs and the dough, and along with it, the ear of the animal? Talmud Lomar, so we know that from the Pasuk that says, Kol Mum. Omar mum v'omar kol mum. The pasuk itself doesn't say mum lo yebo, it says kol mum lo yebo. The word kol comes to include the causative element as well as the basic iser of proactively imposing the mum. So we say in addition to that, even being a causative factor is forbidden. We now encounter a new Mishnah, and on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei, the topic heading, what we've written, Behemo Shemesa B'Yomtov, an animal that dropped dead on Yomtov. Lo Yezizena Mimakoma. You're not allowed to move it. HaGemara Inase Levarer Imzu Stam Mishnah Delo Kir B'Shem. The Gemara will attempt, when we get into the Gemara, it will attempt to clarify, to establish, do we have a case of an unnamed Mishnah, which is considered halachically authoritative, a Stam Mishnah unlike or against Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Shimon les le muksa. U'mishna senu mashma de is muksa. Rabbi Shimon's shita is known that there is no muksa restriction that exists. And that comment, by the way, is a very general comment. There are exceptions to that. But in general, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold for muksa. Now here we have a case of an animal that when Yom Tov set in, it was alive, and hence it was roi for people to use, to shecht on Yom Tov. It was therefore, it was reserved for people use. The Mishnah then says, if the animal dropped dead on Yom Tov, so you're not allowed to move it, because at this point it's no longer fit for what it was designed for at the beginning of Yom Tov. And being that that's the case, you're not allowed to move it. That sounds like that sounds like the opinion that says there is an Isser of Muktzah. That would seem to be against Rabbi Shimon. So now let's turn back to the Mishnah. Behemo Shemesa lo yizizeno mimkoma. An animal that dropped dead on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to move it from its spot. Umaisa v'shozer v'tafen alei v'ala chalo shenitmes. It was an incident where this question was posed to Rabbi Tafran concerning an animal that died on Yom Tov. And a question concerning challah. Challah is a tithe taken from dough and given to a kohen. And it became tomei. Now, challah tomeya, generally speaking, is like truma tomeya, and it is to be burnt. What about burning it on Yom Tov? V'nichnas lebeis hamedrash v'shal v'omru lo lo yezizom mimakoman. The question was taken to the Beis Medrash, the Torah Academy, and they ruled you're not allowed to move them. Now, we have some markings. In fact, in this Omid of Gemara, you see lots of markings. And on the side, under the Mivneh heading, let's note what the role of these shapes is. We have, on the first of all, we have a crown shape. You'll notice that it's marked to the side more as Aleph, and if you scan down the page, you'll see Beis, but you'll also notice that the crown is inverted. So these are crowns, and they're noted Aleph and Beis. Simun laharois shnei kivunim. The purpose of the change in position is to show two directions. Bahamodas mishnosenu, shista mishnah. And how to set up our mishnah, and then we continue, which is it says stam mishnah, means it's an unnamed mishnah. The first crown with the point facing up is the loka Rabbi Shimon, that the Mishnah is then seems to be unlike Rabbi Shimon, and the inverted crown is Kerebi Shimon. These attempts, of course, will go under scrutiny as we go on in the Gemara. The volcano shape, which also appears in inverted positions, represents a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give and forth style of the Gemara. With the narrow part facing upwards, they represent kushos, their questions. The inverted shape, tshuvos, responses. So let us now turn to the Gemara. Lema, and we also, by the way, call this a long question, Lema tnan stamo delo karebi shimon. Shall we say that we have a Stam Mishnah, which represents something authoritative, countering the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Desanya, Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Mechatchim esadluim lefnei abehemo, ves hanevelo lefnei aklovim. Rabbi Shimon says that one is allowed to chop into small pieces, deluin, a type of vegetation, for animal feed. And what we dashed underline is really what's of importance for us. It's an avela lifnei aklovim. And Rashi proves that the dropping dead of the animal, which is a nevela, took place on Shabbos. So, an animal that dropped dead on Shabbos, Rabbi Shimon says, you can chop it up for the dogs. Rabbi Omer, im lo hois an avela me'er of Shabbos, asura, if it wasn't dead already at the onset of Shabbos, rather it died on Shabbos, it's usher. What do we see from here? Rabbi Shimon doesn't seem to be bothered concerning an animal that died on Shabbos. You're allowed to move it around for the benefit of the dogs. Our Mishnah says an animal that died on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to move it. Gemara responds, Afilu Temo Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah can be like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Moide Rabbi Shimon, the Bale Chaim Shemesu Shasurim. Rabbi Shimon, although a lenient opinion regarding muktzah, will agree that an animal that was healthy at the time of dusk, ushering in Yom Tov, he will agree that that is usher. So an animal that was healthy at the onset of Shabbos, that a person had no intention, even according to Rabbi Shimon, he put it out of his mind for animal use. Therefore, when it drops dead on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, it will be usher. Now, what about the source where Rabbi Shimon says you can chop up an animal that died on Shabbos? So Rashi adds, very importantly, that the animal in that case was deathly ill at Bein HaShemoshes. So he knew that the animal was going to die. So he already had it in mind for his dogs. Well, Gemara asks, and we have some new markings. The diamonds and the double underline. The double underline highlights Mishmei Derava. So we have here two Amoroyim. We've written in our note. The first is Mar Bar Meimar, and then we see Mar Barei Derav Yosef. Two Amoroyim, Mishmei Derava, both quoting Rava, Shecholkin B'Malushitas Rabbi Meir. There are two opinions within Rava as to what is Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Legabi Bali Chaim Shehoyu Briim B'Bein Hashmosi Shemesim, regarding animals that were healthy at the onset of Yom Tov and died later on Yom Tov. So far, what have we said? We said that our Mishnah, which describes an animal that died on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to move it, that is something that Rabbi Shimon could agree with, because the Mishnah was talking about an animal that was alive and well at the onset of Yom Tov. Ah, the source that says Rabbi Shimon allows the movement of an animal that died on Shabbos, that is talking about, as we saw in Rashi, an animal that was deathly ill. We continue. Ha nicha lemar barameimar mishmei derava. This analysis is fine according to Mor Bar Ameimar, who said in the name of Rava, Diomar Moida Hoya Rabbi Shimon, Bebali Chayim Shemesu Shasurim Shapir, that Rabbi Shimon would agree that there is a muksa problem regarding animals that were healthy. That if they drop dead on Shabbos, Rabbi Shimon will agree that it's usur to move them around. Ela lamar brei de Rav Yosef mishmei de Rava di Omar choluk hoyo Rabbi Shimon afilu bebali chayim shemesu she mutorin. But according to Rav Yosef's version of Rava, that Rabbi Shimon insists on no muktzah, even in the case of the healthy animal that dropped dead on Shabbos, that it is mutter to move it around. So, my ikol ameimar, then what are you going to say? Is it not so then that we have a stam mishnah? Our mishnah, which assured the movement of the animal, would not be like Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon seems to be allowing all cases of animals dropping dead. So we'd have a Stam Mishnah, which doesn't allow countering Rabbi Shimon. So, what are we to do now with regard to that situation, according to Mor Brei Rav Yosef? Tirgumah, the Gemara answers, and you notice how we have the inverted volcano. We explain the Mishnah, Tirgumah Ziri, Ziri is the name of the one who explains the Mishnah, Bevehemas Kodshim. An animal that had been sanctified, according to Rabbi Shimon, if you're dealing with a sanctified animal that dropped dead, you cannot move it. Daikonami, by careful reading of the Mishnah, you can in fact support Ze'iri's analysis that the Mishnah was dealing with an animal of kochim. Tikotoni aleh, it says in our Mishnah, along with the behema that died, v'yala chalo shenitmes. Ma chalo de kedisha, just like chalo is a tithe given to kohanim and it has truma status, hence it falls in the category of holy items. Af behema de kedisha, so to the animal spoken about in the Mishnah was an animal that was kodosh, that was holy, kochim. That kind of animal where a person doesn't have any benefit from it, any personal benefit from it, of course then if it dropped dead, the animal cannot be used, it would have to be buried. Even Rabbi Shimon agrees that you cannot move it. Now with this pshat in mind, we're going to the entire thrust of the Gemara makes a big turnaround. And that's why we have an inverted crown marking. And here we're going to end up suggesting that we have a Stam Mishnah that actually does support Rabbi Shimon. Notice this is in contrast to the way the Gemara opened up, suggesting the Stam Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon. So, Elo, we continue, Taimo de Kadisha. So the explanation of the Mishnah, according to what we're saying now, is namely that you cannot move the animal, it's because it was a holy animal. Ha de Chulin, Sharyo, if it was a common, mundane animal that happened to drop dead on Shabbos, then it would be mutter to cut it up for the dogs. And there would be no muktzah problem, even though it was alive at the onset of Shabbos and not available for the dogs. Oh, well then, Honicha Lamar Brei de Rav Yosef Mishmei de Rava. Now things work out on the opposite of what we said before. Things work out well according to Mar Brei Rav Yosef, who quoted Rava the Amar Cholukor B'Shimon, Af Bevali Chaim Shemesu Shemutorin. Shapir means things work out well according to his opinion, who said that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with those who argue with him on his concept of non-muktzah. The Mishnah works out well according to this approach, that Rabbi Shimon, when he says that the muktzah prohibition or the muktzah restriction doesn't apply even in the case of an animal that was healthy upon the entrance of Shabbos, where he did not have in mind for it to be used for the dogs, when it dies you can give it to the dogs because there is no muktzah restriction. Ela lamor bar ameimar mishmei derava. But according to this approach, the approach that says an animal that was healthy upon the entrance of Shabbos, where it wasn't available for the dogs, person isn't going to give a healthy animal to the dogs, so it wasn't available for them, and in the event that it dies, Mor Bar Amemar said in the name of Rabbi Shimon that he would concede that there is an iser muktza on it. You can't give it to the dogs. My iko lemeimar, in view of the fact that we set up our Mishnah as dealing with a behemas kochim, but a healthy animal you would be allowed to give, so then how can we set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon? We wouldn't be able to do that. It would appear then that our Mishnah is going to be a stam Mishnah, unlike Rabbi Shimon. So for Mor Bar Amema, that would represent a problem. The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskinan, the case of the Mishnah, that we were medayik, that if it were chulin it would be mutter, is b'mesukenes, the divrei hakol. The animal was actually deathly ill. So if it were a kochim animal and it dies, there's nothing you can do with it. But if it was a chulin mesukenis animal, you did have it in mind for the dogs. It was deathly ill. Everyone would agree that then you could move it. However, if it was a healthy chulin animal, Rabbi Shimon would agree you cannot move it. And that conforms to Marba Meimar's opinion, as quote as he quotes Rava, in Rabbi Shimon. The Mishnah. Ein nimnin ala behemo lechatchila biyom tov. One is, this expression actually will be explained by the Gemara, so we don't have to translate it yet. Ein nimnin ala behemo lechatchila biyom tov, aval nimnin oleo me'erev yom tov, v'shochatin u'mechalkin beinehem. The topic heading, you'll see on the side of the Gemara, ein poiskin domen biyom tov. One is not allowed to establish the value of an animal or animal parts, limbs of an animal, on Yom Tov, and then shecht the animal, and then pay the butcher, the owner of the animal, afterwards. My, the Gemara, Ein Nimnin. What is meant by that? Omar of Yudomar Shmuel, Ein Poiskin Domim Lechatchilo Al Habehemo B'Yom Tov. Commerce is not something allowed on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Therefore, if a person, and we know that a person is allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. Now, I go to someone that has an animal, and he knows how to shecht the animal, and I want some of the meat. How am I supposed to get the meat from the guy who is not interested in giving me a gift? He's interested in my paying for it, but on the other hand, you're not allowed to establish money values on Yom Tov or Shabbos. So, Heichi Ovid, what should be done? The Mishnah itself said you can shecht it and split the different parts amongst different customers. What should be done, though, in order to establish how much they will eventually have to pay? The Gemara answer is Omar Rav, Mevi Shtei Behemos Umamidom Zu Eitzel Zu. You bring two animals, and you have them stand one next to the other. Two animals that are equal in size, equal in quality. The Omer, Zu Kizu, and establish that, take a look, notice they are like one another. And then what happens? One of the animals you shecht, and the next day they will evaluate the value of the other animal that was established to be like the one you shechted, and come to the conclusion of how much each one would have to pay for the portion they received. Tanyo Nami Hochi, we have a brisa that supports the teaching of Rav. Lo yomar odom lechavero hareini imcho besel areimcho b'shtayim. You shall not say on Yom Tov that I'm together with you in the meat. A sell is a coin type of an amount of money. I'm in this with you for a sella's worth of meat or for two sella's worth of meat. That you're not allowed to say on Yom Tov. Avol omer lo, but what you can tell the owner is hareini imcho lemechso uleshlish. I'm with you in the animal for half of it, or a third of it, or a quarter of it. What's the point? The point is that you're not allowed to mention, and this is what we were pointing out before, how we have a brisa supporting that which was taught before. We said brisa supporting Rav. We should have really said a brisa supporting Shmuel, that you're not allowed to mention money, and that is exactly what we saw here in this Tanaic source. We didn't mention actual, we're not allowed to mention actual value, but percentages you can mention, and then after Yom Tov, you'll bring forth the remaining animal that's alive and establish make an evaluation in money terms of the living animal and conclude how much each one had received and pay accordingly. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.